Philadelphia Eagles insisting that this is just another season. No title defense going on here. They're trying to Jedi mind trick themselves into thinking that they're the underdogs. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Obviously, we're all psyched around here that the NFL kicks off. College football was gangbusters week one. I'm thinking that the NFL is going to follow suit, Pearl. But two questions about tonight's game. Number one, Philadelphia mounting a title defense, right? And are they going to have read their own press clippings? Are we going to get more potential, you know, frustrations with the passing offense if things don't start off great right out of the jump? Is this actually a team that's kind of teetering a little bit more than we last saw them, which was demolishing the Kansas City Chiefs? Did that make up for the fact that maybe this team was, you know, not like as kumbaya as it made out to be at the end of the year? That's my question about the Eagles. And then on the flip side for the Cowboys, I mean, how do they look in their first action after the Micah Parsons trade?
Yeah. I mean, I think when you think of great Super Bowl teams that disappointed and didn't win the next year, a lot of times they start out red hot. I mean, that after Rodgers won, he beat the Steelers. Did they go 15-1 or something crazy the next
year?
Yes,
they did.
The 85 Bears, in 86, they went 14-2. Then, of course, McMahon got hurt. Generally, what I fear for the Eagles is attrition because of injury. What happened to them last time, they started out 10-1, but they started to get injured. As the season went, they got some fatigue got in there. Like, you wear down over the course of the season. So I don't think, even if there is those issues you mentioned about locker room chemistry, I think that'll show its head way, way later. There's no excuse here. This is Dallas. Like, there's no, the hangover, I think, tends to hit later in the season for Super Bowl champs. So I'm not super worried. I mean, the interesting thing to me is, well, like, what do the Cowboys have in George Pickens? Dak Prescott's very comfortable against the Eagles. Like, that is not a problem. Even though Vic Fangio is new, they've been running a Fangio defense for a while, and Dak's had a lot of success against it. So maybe the Cowboys come out with a surprising passing season like they did 2 years ago. Or was it, what year was Dak second in MVP voting?
That was now 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Like, we didn't necessarily see the Cowboys have that much success on offense. So maybe they don't need the running back. Maybe they don't need Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe Dak can do this. So there is a chance that the Cowboys come out high-flying. I don't think they've solved the run. I think the Eagles, and also, if you solve the Eagles' run, then boom, you're leaving A.J. Brown a one-on-one. That's hard.
Yeah.
Say what you want about Jalen Hurts. He may not be top five, but he can throw that deep ball to A.J. Brown.
And Devontae Smith. I mean, you got multiple weapons there.
A lot of options.
I think what I'm a little bit more interested in the Cowboys side of this, so forgive me, and people will say, oh, you're playing right into Jerry's hand. Well, the guy actually did trade away one of the best pass rushers in the league not even two weeks ago. So, yeah, I'm a little concerned, interested, all of that, and how the Cowboys look, both from a, you know, just, I don't say effort. Obviously, the effort's going to be there. But just like, does this feel like is this a hangdog team that feels like, you know, the GM and owner traded away one of their best players, so they've waved the white flag on the season? Or is this really an addition by subtraction, which, you know, they kind of implied you know, that Micah Parsons was a me first, look at me guy who was distracting both with his hold in and also with his podcast, which I find super hard to believe. But here we are. And I'm kind of curious too, the X's and O's part. Can they actually be better against the run with new addition Kenny Clark, who, by the way, just got here, and they're kind of expecting and kind of playing him up like he's going to be this great, amazing elixir and this salve for what has been ailing the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, all you need is eyeballs on the Cowboys. When Micah went out last year, they looked terrible on defense. And when he came back, like, they had a whole different attitude. The numbers show it. He is the most effective one-on-one pass rusher in the entire NFL. He's impossible to block one-on-one. So now that those resources are not on Micah Parsons, where are they going to be? Listen, you have a lot of other health issues around your defense as well. Injuries from last year are lasting into this year. I know you paid Deron Bland, but Deron Bland is great. But that guy, like, the thing about the Cowboys corners is they always take big risks. You can beat them deep. I have a lot of issues with the Cowboys defense in particular.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So a couple things on the table for you right now, which is, how does it have to look for the Cowboys tonight? Is it important that this is a one-score game in the fourth quarter? You know, no participation trophies. They're professional athletes, but they are an 8-point underdog, And again, they just traded away one of their best players. So is it important that this is close? This is also Brian Schottenheimer's coaching debut. So good luck with all that. You know, you're telling everybody you want to run the ball and stop the run. Well, see if you can stop Saquon Barkley. That's going to be hard. Another thing that Perloff and I do not agree on is another game, this one from Sunday, about Aaron Rodgers' debut with the Steelers and how important this game is for both the Steelers, Rodgers. If they lose to the Jets, does that take the air out of the season? I don't think so. You seem to think so.
Well, the Steelers host the Seahawks in week two, so I guess they could bounce back immediately. Like, this would be, this would be a total and utter disaster. I think that, first of all, for some reason, there's been a bit of a change in the offseason where I think nobody was hyped about the Steelers because they got Aaron Rodgers so late that everyone's like, well, you know what? They're probably looking 10-7. But now I think it's generated by Pittsburgh itself. Like, they're talking a big game. They're in the toughest division in football, arguably, the AFC North. They cannot afford a loss to a team that they should beat in the New York Jets, in the sense that the Jets are third lowest in odds in Vegas for Super Bowl chances and team win total. They just suffered a major injury on their offensive line. Elijah Vera Tucker, they want to run the ball. That definitely hurts them. Like, they have no excuse, Pittsburgh, even on the road, to lose this game.
888-710-4ISN. So there you go. There's a couple of the games, obviously, that caught our eye tonight, of course. Like, this is all fun with, you know, the Eagles getting to raise the banner. We're expecting every Philadelphia celebrity that's ever lived is probably going to be there. Do you think Stallone comes back? Do they redo this thing?
They've evolved past Sylvester Stallone.
No, they haven't.
Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of him lately. I mean, Bradley Cooper, Kevin Hart are such mainstays. You know, who's an interesting one? I don't
Mike
know.
Trout.
You know, I don't know where Dr. Jill Biden stands.
She's a big deal.
She's a big deal in Philly, but she's from Delaware, and she's a very loyal fan. I think Abbott Elementary gets involved in this somehow.
Oh, shocker.
Kind of like a pregame little sitcom bit going on.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Maybe he brings his buddy Ryan Reynolds. Mm. This should be a superstar-laden thing. For some reason, like, you know, wasn't Hugh Jackman at the Chiefs game last year? Maybe Hugh makes an appearance.
Oh, boy. If you wanted a reason to make the Eagles fans more insufferable.
This just be celebrities. And it's the Cowboys, too. People want to see the Cowboys. But definitely Bradley Cooper. He's the number one. Is there any doubt he will be there in the building tonight?
No, but I've called him a fake fan before, and I stand by that. What? I mean,
Bradley Cooper?
Yeah.
Good for you, Maggie. Good for you.
Fake on what sense?
Because he always watches the game now from the suite. And I get it. He's famous. Like, he's a little protected.
Like, he's going to go out of the crowd?
Mike Trout's out there with a dog mask.
Amen. No one knows who Mike Trout is.
Well, that's a good point, too.
I think that he never has to sit out there in the rain, shielded from the cold weather.
I have no idea.
Sweet fans are fake fans.
I got to be honest. I have no idea how that man shoots 3 movies a year in places all over the world, and he is there. It's like, the New York Giants in week 7, Bradley Cooper's there. That guy, his attendance at games is stunning.
Yeah, buy a ticket. 888-710-4ISN.
Wow.
Look, Boomer Esiason down the hall, right? Former NFL MVP. Loves the New York Rangers. Buys a season ticket, not expecting that everyone's going to roll out the red carpet for him every time.
Well, the
Spike
Bengals
Lee
aren't, the,
buys the ticket.
But those are indoor events, Maggie.
The Bengals aren't going to buy season tickets for Boomer. I think we all know that.
Yeah, well, that turns out they're kind of stingy.
What the hell was that all about?
Shocker.
But you can't possibly say that Bradley Cooper is jumping on the bandwagon because the Eagles are good now.
Not been jumping on the bandwagon.
He grew up hardcore Eagles fan.
I'm saying, just get a ticket out there, you know, be out in the elements.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. First of all, you won't even go out of the elements. It's the irony, and no offense, but you're not Bradley Cooper. No.
I do not like cold weather.
If the press pass and the parking pass is not delivered on time via FedEx, then you will not see Maggie in the crowd.
Don't tell anybody. All right, let's get to our predictions for this NFL season. Last thing in my own defense, when you spend enough winners upstate, like, I've got, like, clout, you know? I suffered through those winners. It's like, I have them in the back burner. I did my time served.
Retweet.
Hypocrite.
Now I don't even go to a baseball game before Memorial Day.
Send that as a post on X. I'll give it a retweet.
There you go.
Hypocrite.
I did my time.
How dare you go after Bradley Cooper? The man is a saint.
All right, Pearl. AFC or NFC? Where do you want to start?
Let's do NFC, baby.
All right.
How are we going to do this?
It's your team is the champs, so why don't you get the floor? Give us your division winners, your wild card, and who's going to the Super Bowl from the NFC.
Okay. Both conferences, I'm embarrassed to admit, I went a little chalky. Okay. In order, and these are my seeds. 1 seed, Green Bay Packers. 2 seed, San Francisco 49ers. 3 seed, Philadelphia Eagles. 4 seed, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 5 seed, Detroit Lions. 6 seed, Chicago Bears.
Wow.
7 seed, and this is a three-way tie. I'm not joking. I played out every game. A three-way tie. The Washington Commanders get the tie break over the Arizona Cardinals and the LA Rams. Those are my 7 teams. Do you want me to go ahead with the rest?
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. Championship game. It ends up Green Bay actually beats Philly. I think if Green Bay was fully healthy last year, they would have had a chance last year. And they were my pick last year, to be honest. I'm going to full confession. So I'm going back to the well. You add Micah Parsons. Here's one thing. The Packers could run with the Eagles. You know, the Eagles were all about Saquon Barkley. Packers have a run game as well. Expecting Jordan Love to hopefully stay healthy. I got Green Bay coming out of the NFC. You're up.
Okay, I have a little similar. I have your Eagles with the 1 seed, Green Bay with the 2 seed. Tampa Bay is your 3 seed. San Francisco 49ers win the NFC West with the 4 seed. 5 seed, Detroit. I also have Chicago. And
oh, man.
I have the Arizona Cardinals in as the 7 seed. I am not putting the Rams nor the Washington Commanders in the playoffs this year. Those are my 2 big fades.
Yeah, big dropouts from last year's field.
Yep, and, you know, I've thought about this a lot with the Commanders especially because they're the hot
team. Wow, Jaden Daniels.
We love Jaden Daniels, but, man, did they win a lot of one-score games last year. They got a little, I don't say lucky, they're a good team, but they're also, they were veteran last year. A veteran can turn to old in the drop of a hat. Terry McLaurin basically missed the entire offseason training camp. So I'm fading the Commanders. I'm fading the Rams. I think that if Matthew Stafford is not healthy and that shows itself early in the year, is there part of Sean McVay that's like, now's my chance to actually get a high pick? Arch Manning, that, to put that aside, just whoever coming out of college because they were ready to let Matthew Stafford go last year. You know, obviously they're moving on after this year, and now he's got the back issue. I don't think that Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy. I don't think Stetson Bennett's the guy. So Rams and Commanders out, Arizona in. I have my NFC championship game, Green Bay versus San Francisco, and I have the 49ers back in the Super Bowl from the NFC. All right, AFC.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually thought about putting the Niners in as well because Kyle Shanahan is good in the early rounds of the playoffs. The actual big game, not so much. Okay, I got, a lot depends on the week one game and how the seeding works out. But I have Baltimore as the 1 seed, Buffalo as the 2 seed, KC as a 3 seed, and Houston as a 4 seed. So the same division winners as last year. I mean, who's going to, first of all, no one's knocking off Buffalo. I do not see the Steelers or the Bengals catching the Ravens. Kansas City, the demise has been talked about way too much this offseason. Now, I got to admit, you've got me nervous about the Houston Texans, but I stuck them in at number 4. Number 5, right behind KC, Denver Broncos. Number 6, Cincinnati sneaks in. And number 7, and I had to play out the whole season to get it this way. A third AFC North team, your Pittsburgh Steelers get in number 7.
Okay, I'll just save you the time. We have exact same.
I
hate to do it. We do. I don't know how it happened. Denver, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati all is my wild cards, and I stayed with the 4 division champs. Sorry
don't be
if that's
a freaking
super
weirdo.
Boring, but let's play it out. So who's in the AFC championship game and who's in the Super Bowl from the AFC?
KC knocks out Buffalo. Have you ever heard of that one before?
Yeah, sounds familiar.
And then Baltimore gets revenge for that 17-10 loss in the AFC title game 2 years ago. It's got to happen Lamar Jackson. It has to happen. At some point, the guy is too good to play this poorly in the postseason. Could say the same thing about Josh Allen, but he's already playing well. I think the defense in the second half of the season took off for Baltimore. Their overall stats are not good because they weren't good in the first half of the year. I think they're going to be innovative on defense, and they finally have the passing game just to a level where it's never been before. I got the Ravens coming out, so I have the Ravens and the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl.
You're a little bit too old to watch cars, but anyway.
That would be a fun one. I'd like to watch that Super Bowl, not going to lie.
you tune in if there was nothing better on?
San Francisco I have from the NFC, you guys know that. As far as the AFC is concerned, listen, I'd love to talk like Josh Allen on Hard Knocks, where Go Bills. Said he's visualizing the parade.
Yeah, I couldn't tell.
A lot of people sent me that on Twitter.
I saw that. I was wondering if you liked that or didn't like that.
I like donuts, baby!
So, I could never. But I like that Josh Allen has that kind of confidence. You have to do that as a professional athlete, right? This is the visualization. I wish he was visualizing more of that last drive with the Chiefs instead of the victory parade. Hey, but anyway.
Was he visualizing Dalton Kincaid diving out of nowhere to catch that pass?
Clearly not. And why does Dalton Kincaid feel like an afterthought when he has a first-round draft pick? But anyway.
She's getting heated.
I know. You can tell the season's about to start.
It's the music going on underneath. Like,
the pen drop as well.
Should we get a blood pressure cuff on her right now to make sure this whole thing doesn't explode in our faces?
She kind of threw her pen as well. I can already sense the
Bills. Oh, she's banging the table. Here we go. She's banging the table.
I'm back, guys.
Go Bills.
Get the treadmill. Plug it back in.
Go Bills.
The season has arrived.
Get my husband's clothes off the treadmill. Plug that thing back in. It's time to get walking. Until further notice. That was week 3, I believe. That's screaming. I can't give my Bills anything until they prove they can beat Kansas City. I can't do it. It's like not how I'm wired as a sports fan. So
using common sense? Well, that's not how you're wired? Yeah, easy. I think, yeah, they can't beat the Chiefs, Mac.
They can't beat the Chiefs, and so I can't have them beating the Chiefs this year. On what? Wishes and hopes? What are we doing? Sunshines and rainbows here? I don't think so. So I have Kansas City facing off against Baltimore in the AFC Championship game. Kansas City has everyone's number. Yes, I'm predicting Kansas City back to the Super Bowl. A Kansas City-San Francisco Super Bowl for the third time.
Damn.
And I think this is one of the, like, you know, we remember it as this great rivalry, sort of, between Kansas City and San Francisco. And I think finally Kyle Shanahan gets his. I don't know why. Because I think this is the year where, weirdly, people are not on the 49ers like they were. I like to say they should have all these Super Bowl expectations, but that's not the vibe I'm getting from America.
Okay.
So I think this is the Kyle Shanahan sneaks up on everybody year, and this is the year they get Kansas City and he gets his Super Bowl.
Okay, I like it. I actually really, really strongly looked at it. It was Green Bay or San Francisco for me. Here's my question. If this does happen, are you putting Brock Purdy in the top 8 quarterbacks in the NFL?
That will be a conversation for the offseason, Pearl.
Did anyone just hear Brock Purdy is elite there?
Nope.
Kinda.
I sure did.
You can't have San Francisco winning the Super Bowl without, therefore, ipso facto, giving love to Brock Purdy.
Listen, I always said this about San Francisco. As long as Brock Purdy is their quarterback, when they get to the Super Bowl, they will be at a disadvantage at the quarterback position. Like everyone else from the AFC, Josh Allen is a better quarterback. CJ Stroud's a better quarterback. Lamar Jackson's a better quarterback. Joe Burrow's a better quarterback. All the other AFC quarterbacks are going to be better than Brock Purdy, but I still think they can win the game.
Did you just talk about how Washington was going to get old all of a sudden? I mean, the Niners are ancient.
They also traded out a lot of that
old blood. Williams, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey. These guys are all amongst the oldest at their position in the entire NFL.
You know, having their wide receiver room be kind of injured and a little bit dicey right now, to me, is not the panic button alarm that other people seem to think it is. I think that Kyle Shanahan, there's a reason why people believe he's one of the most outside of Andy Reid, you know, inventive offensive minds that we have. I think he's going to be okay.
Why? What is happening here? I've been defending Kyle Shanahan since I moved over from the Dan Patrick Show to you, and you've always questioned him in the big moment.
I'm zagging.
Well, you can't steal Kyle Shanahan from me. I'm the Kyle Shanahan defender.
Also, it'd be Kansas City 2 straight losses in a Super Bowl, and we can talk about that in
that
my
would be
scenario.
They'd be the new Buffalo Bills if they lost to Kansas City again.
The 49ers.
Yeah, the 49ers. I mean...
No, I was saying if Kansas City loses San Francisco, now they would have back-to-back Super Bowl losses because they lost to your Eagles last year and then losing to San Francisco.
Good point. Yeah. But I would say if the Niners lost a third Super Bowl to the Chiefs, it would be much like the Bills losing 2 in a row to the Cowboys. I think they would start to get that Super Bowl loser thing that the Vikings had way back in the day and then your Bills most famously had. By the way, did you see Sean McDermott breaking down to tears talking about how special the 90s Bills were?
I haven't watched the last 2 episodes.
Oh, my God. He's like, you don't understand how hard it is to get to 4 Super Bowls.
She's tapped out.
He wouldn't understand either.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I did like when McDermott called Marv Levy on his 100th birthday.
Yeah, that was touching. Nice. But I don't know, though. You don't want to be associated with that team because your new team is much like that old team. You can't get over the hump despite being awesome.
I realize that, Pearl. Thank you for pointing that out. Now, yes, it's starting to get a little shades of the 90s. I'm with you.
Take me to the Gray household last night. You're sitting there and you're thinking about the AFC and how it plays out. What is your... You did mention something about the Bills, like... How do you really feel about the team this year?
So let me tell you, I am very concerned about the defense. I am. I'm very concerned about the defense.
That's where you're
looking. I'm not concerned about the offense at all. You know, I try to talk myself into the rest of the division, and I think the Patriots actually are going to be a lot better, but they won 4 games last year. So if they win 8 games this year, that's a huge improvement. So I think that's about right. I don't know if you can expect a lot more from them. I don't know what the Jets are going to be, and obviously I think the Dolphins are going to be a disaster. So I do think they're going to win the division. The defense I am so nervous about, and to be honest, I like that Josh Allen is visualizing a championship parade. Do something different, you know. In Buffalo, sometimes we get this idea, oh, we're destined to lose, we're destined to lose. I kind of like that he's trying to flip it. As a fan, it's hard for me to get there with him until they prove it, but that's where I'm at.
All right. That sounded actually pretty reasonable.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll wait till the game start.
I can't wait till Monday morning to see your reaction on Sunday night. This is a crazy weekend. By the way, we haven't even got into it. We're going to see the real virtual measurement on first downs tonight. There's going to be it's like a new season.
It is, literally.
You're going to see a new kickoff rule. There's going to be a lot happening in the next couple of days. And I feel like my picks in the past couple of years, I've run into some trouble. I had the Packers. I was so confident in the Packers last year. So
you're going back to the well.
I never go back to the well. Usually when I get burned by a pick, I never come back. And that's why I'm zagging. I'm going to double down on a mistake.
Our question about tonight, Eagles, Cowboys, does this have to look a certain way for Dallas in order to avoid full-on embarrassment and panic? 888-710-4ISN, Maggie Perloff Show. I do not like cold weather.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Learn how it's so much more than just another SUV at HyundaiUSA.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I'm not sure I ever got to my actual Super Bowl winner last segment. We did our picks. I have the Ravens beating the Packers and Lamar Jackson finally matching his multiple MVPs with a ring. Maggie?
Yeah, love it. I mean, I would hate it for my Bills, but I can see it, Pearl. I have San Francisco and Kansas City for the third time, and I think third time's a charm for Kyle Shanahan. I have the 49ers beating the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. This is going to be the year that no one saw San Francisco coming.
I really like the Chiefs pick because I think the rumors out there of their demise are way overstated. They lost Tyreek Hill, and I thought that was going to be a big deal. It wasn't. Travis Kelce's getting old. That's not a big deal. Their offensive line, they find ways to revamp it. They paid up for some versatility. They got a steal in Josh Simmons, a left tackle. I don't think the Chiefs are going anywhere. I just think that the Baltimore Ravens feel like a bionic team. They were the number one offense by a mile last year, and they are the Baltimore Ravens. They play defense. So that combination, to me, says at some point they got to win a championship. And they have a championship-winning coach.
Kind of feels like in the NBA when this happens, when guys win multiple MVPs and then they have to finally break through. But they have. Giannis did it. Jokic did it. Does happen. You'd like to
Josh Allen, it could be too, by the way, not just Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the Bills have their own issues with Kansas City. You know, they cannot get over that hump yet. So until further notice, it's interesting. I was actually reading a good article about this. Like the fact that the Bills rely on Josh Allen for everything, for so much of their team is predicated on him. Is that actually a winning formula? Which was interesting. Dom is in San Francisco. Dominic, good morning, sir.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for the shout outs for the Niners.
Yep. Got you guys winning the Super Bowl.
That'd be awesome.
You got the easiest schedule in the league too. See, that was another part of this, Pearl. We've been doing, sorry, Dom, one sec. We've been doing this King of the Mountain. We started today. Yeah. We're trying to find the greatest NFL team of all time. You can vote at Maggie and Pearl. Today's the first matchup, the 98 Vikings against the 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins. And Pearl, one thing I noticed about both of these teams, they were great. They're both amazing teams. They had easy schedules though that helped their gaudy records. Miami obviously undefeated, and the Vikings were 15-1 that season. So, Dom, I think an easy schedule for San Francisco has got to be factored in.
And we're going to have the comeback player of the year.
McCaffrey?
Absolutely. Hands down.
Yeah.
He has to win.
Well, I think it's going to Aiden Hutchinson, but sure.
Would be the 84 Niners.
84 Niners were another 15-1 team, and they are in the mix of the 25 teams, Dom. Thank you. That we are picking from in this pool. So whoever wins between the Vikings and the 72 Dolphins stays the king of the mountain and will bring them a new challenger next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think those 80 teams, that's pre-salary cap, less parity back then. Though that was a super team that stayed together for a long time.
Chris is in Lexington. Chris, you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers?
Oh, Maggie Pearl, yes. As a Pittsburgh native, Mag, all right. So I'm not delusional to think that we're getting the 2010 Aaron Rodgers that beat us back in that Super Bowl. But I am shading with you in the sense that, yes, obviously a loss would be big. But I'm agreeing with you from the standpoint that it wouldn't wreck the season. What I need to see is, you know, what Aaron was always predicated on, being a master at reading defenses, ball out quick, on time. Does he show his age from that standpoint? Or is the offense just kind of sputtering, but he's not making, you know, errors that we're just not used to seeing Aaron Rodgers do except for the last couple of years? You know what I mean? So that's what I need to see from him in week one. Obviously, a win would be wonderful, but I want to see, does he still have that juice left in the tank? And if he does, with that defense we're going to put out there every week, you know, who knows? Who knows?
Chris, I think it's a good way to look at it. I mean, for Rodgers, I think that this is the type of offense that really, this is Arthur Smith, Mike Tomlin, like, the last thing they want is turnovers, gambling, none of that stuff. And Rodgers is the perfect guy there because he doesn't turn the ball over. That's his whole thing.
Right, which is why they have to beat the Jets. I think it was in the break you disclosed that you have the Jets possibly winning a week two as well.
Yeah, I have this weird feeling the Bills are going to start the season 0-2. And then I think they're going to rebound and, like, win four straight and be fine. But they've got the Ravens, big revenge game for Baltimore Sunday night. And then, I don't know, I just have a weird suspicion they could drop that game to
the Jets. Forget the Bills. That would mean the Jets could possibly be 2-0.
Possibly. New York Jets. And that'd be fool's gold.
Okay. Peter Schwartz,
speaking
you're a Jets
of
fan.
Fools.
Peter Schwartz, you're a Jets fan.
There's no way. There's no
That's
way.
That's your official analysis?
There's a chance they could win Sunday, but there's no way they're beating the Bills.
Wait, I saw this question yesterday on our sister station, WFAN. Do you boo Aaron Rodgers?
No.
What?
I would, if I was there, I wouldn't.
What?
I'm not going to the game, but I wouldn't boo him.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
How do you not? Of course
because,
you boo Aaron
no,
Rodgers.
No, I would not boo Aaron Rodgers because, number one, the man chose to come to the Jets and took less money to come here. It's not his fault he got an Achilles injury. And last year, he had, and people think I'm nuts when I say this, but look it up. He had one of the best statistical seasons by a Jets quarterback in their history. I know the bar is not very high when it comes to that.
Got fewer wins than Zach Wilson.
No, but I'm saying, but if you look at his numbers last year, he had one of the best. I wanted him to come back. I thought he would come back and then draft the quarterback and have him tutor him for a year.
EJ, you disagree.
Why would you... Listen, I would boo the Steelers in general because you're rooting for your team.
Right.
But I wouldn't go overboard and just like root against boo Aaron Rodgers. The man wanted to be here. He wanted to come back. The Jets told him no.
Counterpoint, EJ Stewart.
Aaron Rodgers had the 29th QBR in the entire NFL. He did not have a good season.
I'm not talking about QBR on the whole.
Right, but it's about how he played last year.
I'm talking about in the history. He played crap in one game, and it was the one game that I was at against Denver.
He played crap against the Vikings. He threw three picks. Okay, what are we talking about?
But he
that was
look
overseas.
At his over,
that,
look
I
at
thought
his,
that was a game he went to. I was like, Peter Short.
No, Denver, he was garbage in that game, too.
What happens in London stays in London.
But that was a rain game.
What's that?
The Denver game was the rain game.
It was a rain game. Yeah, he stunk in that game. There's no question. Yeah, and they also lost on a missed field goal.
I went to a Yankee game that day. I remember that game.
You wouldn't rather have Aaron Rodgers on the team than Justin Fields
not.
Right now?
Aaron Rodgers is the reason why Nathaniel Hackett was there. Aaron Rodgers is the reason why they kept Zach Wilson as the backup quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is the reason we still got this bum Alan Lazard playing wide receiver.
Well,
what are we talking
him.
About?
They can cut him.
He's the reason why this team was set back so much because we made everything about him.
Alan Lazard or Aaron Rodgers?
What's the difference?
I can't believe what you're saying today.
But what else did they have? What else did they have? The guy is a future Hall of Famer. He wanted to play for the Jets.
Yeah, see, this is interesting. We'll see about Aaron Rodgers, whether he's going to get booed just because he's
the opposing
team.
I hope the Jets sack him 20 times because he's the other team's quarterback. Yeah. But I don't hold any grudges towards the man. He wanted to come here.
He wanted to be the vice president. I can't believe what you're saying today, Schwartz. He literally was like, are you doing me the Jets quarterback or vice president? He's like, no comment. And like, this guy wanted to be a Jet. What are we doing?
I think he thought that the Jets were a bit of a sleeping giant, like Tom Brady with the Bucks, but the Bucks actually were. 888-710-4ISN. And, of course, you know, Rodgers got hurt. Peter, what else do you have for us?
The NFL season does kick off tonight with two good teams in Philadelphia. Well, we think at least one good team. At the Super Bowl champion, Eagles host the Cowboys. Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni knows his team is well prepared.
Every practice that we go through, we're thinking about how did we tackle? How did we take care of the football? How did we take it away? How did we catch it? How did we block? And so you're just looking for those to constantly be on the rise.
As for the Cowboys, step one without Micah Parsons tonight, wide receiver CeeDee Lamb says it's time to turn the page.
I wouldn't say it was easy for us to move on, nor would I say it's hard. It's just, it sucks. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a repetitive thought. Granted, we did get a great player in Kenny Clark, so let's not override that. But as Micah being drafted here, I would have loved for him to finish his career and with a star on his helmet, but obviously that wasn't the case.
And kickoff
tonight.
Did
I talk to Michael?
Micah.
Kickoff tonight is at 8:20 Eastern time. The Cowboys are in a little bit of a denial here, yeah. I think, about Michael Parsons moving
well,
on.
Well, they have Kenny Clark.
I mean, Kenny Clark.
Kenny Clark better be like...
Problem solved.
Kenny Clark better be
the
greatest defensive tackle. If you picture Aaron Donald combined with J.J. Watt combined with that guy in Fast Times at Ridgemont High who killed everybody, that's Kenny Clark.
Kenny Clark needs 35 tackles tonight.
Did you see the latest from Schefter?
No, what?
Philadelphia Eagles made a strong push for Michael Parsons, according to Schefter.
Oh, God, why are you doing that to me? You know I wanted so bad.
Philadelphia called Dallas to try to acquire Parsons, but the Cowboys had no interest in trading the two-time All-Pro pass rusher within their own division, especially to the Eagles, sources tell Adam Schefter.
A smart organization, the Dallas Cowboys.
That would have been nuts to trade Micah Parsons at 26 to the Eagles. Then we would know Jerry's lost it.
That would be so stupid.
Well, he also mentions the irony of this whole thing, that the Eagles and Cowboys previously agreed to a high-profile trade during the draft in 2021. Philadelphia moved up two spots to select DeVonta Smith with the 10th pick. Dallas, ironically, used the 12th pick on Micah Parsons.
Right. But that was prearranged. It wasn't. It was also in part to screw the Giants, which was just so funny.
Yeah, whatever, dog.
Speaking of Adam Schefter, he is also reporting that Jets guard Elijah Vera Tucker will indeed undergo season-ending surgery on his torn triceps. You want to blame that on Aaron Rodgers, too?
Oh God.
Blame Joe
Douglas.
Probably
is his fault.
Why is that Joe Douglas' fault?
Because he traded up for a guard.
Drafted him.
No, it's not his fault. Listen,
well, it's a good thing they never gave him an extension.
Right.
But it's a good thing that people have been talking about him getting an extension. So thank heavens they actually didn't give him an extension.
Contract year.
Couldn't give him that.
Yeah, and thus concludes our talk of the Jets offensive line for the season.
Guards are hot, though. Like, you want to pay guard. Like, guard's the new it position.
Guard's the new tackle?
Well, I think people saw Tom Brady, like, you got to protect the middle. It's a huge deal. Obviously, you got Quentin Nelson in
2007. That's not new.
No, I mean, I just think that guards are, like, people are like, ooh, maybe we should put more investment other than left tackle. Like, I feel like the whole line now matters. Like, you saw the Cowboys drafted this kid, Tyler Booker. Now, I don't know. I'm scared of a good guard because that means run game. But that's why I think the Jets, like, you have them 2-0. I think they're going to really possibly bottom out here. Anyway, and I think, like, that's why Aaron Rodgers cannot lose to this team. I'm sorry. It would be so bad.
Peter, thank you. Great job all morning. 888-710-4ISN. So there you go. How important is it for Aaron Rodgers to win this game against the Jets, or would the air kind of go out of the season?
I don't know what he's crushing, but he's huge.
Is it 3-point spread still? I doubt the Elijah Vera Tucker injury would change the line, but you guys can check that out for us. Coming up, back to college for a moment. I know we're all excited about the NFL, but a question before Arch Manning takes the field again. We'll ask it next. Maggie Perloff.
Yeah, my girth is rather large.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Just want to start off the segment with a huge thank you. EJ Stewart, Andrew Kaplan, our King of the Mountain project has been launched. Thank you for the hard work. The graphics are all up on social. Cap did such a fantastic job. EJ dogged and all of this. And so our first matchup was we're looking for the greatest NFL team of all time, the 1998 Minnesota Vikings against the 1972 Miami Dolphins. Whoever wins that matchup becomes King of the Mountain, and we will challenge them with a new team next Thursday. Pearl, right now, the 72 Dolphins are running away with it.
Yeah, this is a perfect record that is standing in the way.
But how long, if they're the King of the Mountain, how long does that stand up if we get to other teams that also were dominant Super Bowl champs?
Well, the funny thing is, by the way, we only have, I think, two or three teams that did not win a championship. I think the Vikings definitely fit in that list. I think the recency bias will take over. I don't think a lot of people saw the 72 Dolphins. I mean, let's face it, when they're popping that champagne, there are less and less of them popping that champagne year by year. And we're going to get into a lot of questions about eras. Like, the league was much smaller then. It feels like it's harder to repeat now in a salary cap model with 32 teams. So I think people will take that into account.
I'm looking at, so the Minnesota Vikings, 1998, they were the third team at the time to go 15-1. The 84 49ers and the 85 Bears were the other two teams. Now you also add the 04 Pittsburgh Steelers to the mix, the 07 Patriots to the mix, the 2011 Green Bay Packers, and the 2015 Carolina Panthers. So now you do have teams that have had that gaudy record but not won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Gotten stopped in their tracks. Some have, 04 Pittsburgh, obviously.
Yeah.
But the other ones made it to the Super Bowl. Well, Green Bay didn't make it that year, but the other, New England obviously famously lost to Manny's Giants, and then 15 in Carolina was Von Miller taking over the game for the Broncos.
You look at any of these teams, what happened to that Panthers team's injuries up front? That just destroyed them. It's so hard to stay healthy for an entire season. And, you know, we've been talking about the upcoming 36. Game tonight. I resent your implications that the locker room is going to turn on itself, because we know what's going to happen here, Maggie. Injuries are the key. To win a Super Bowl, it's a league of attrition. You have the Niners winning it all, which I love that pick. I think they're going to be really good this year. But aren't you worried? Aren't you worried that week six, Christian McCaffrey is going to turn something?
You know, I think this is where I got the inspiration last night, looking at the Vikings and looking at the 72 Dolphins, that it does take a bit of an easy schedule to try to get yourself in this position. Now, listen, once you get to the playoffs, then all bets are off. Then you got to be up best against the best. But the Philadelphia Eagles, Pearl, you have one of the hardest schedules in the NFL, the way this works.
Chiefs had a brutal season last year, made it to the Super Bowl.
Well, the Chiefs are 15-2.
Yeah. Yeah, they beat everybody. I'd like to see your metrics. I don't think an easy schedule guarantees anything, because a lot of times the best teams go through a gauntlet to get there.
I'm just saying that they can withstand, I think, a Christian McCaffrey injury. You know, I think they can withstand an injury here or there, and it's still going to keep them afloat. So we got the King of the Mountain for you to go vote on, 98 Vikings versus 72 Dolphins. Also asking you a question a little more urgent, which is, how does it have to look for the Cowboys tonight to avoid utter embarrassment? You know, they trade away Michael Parsons not 2 weeks ago, said they want to sell out to stop the run. Well, here's Saquon Barkley. So how are you going to stop him, if at all? And what is riding on this for Dallas? Because if they get blown out and they lose 30-13 or something tonight, I think it's going to set off even more panic. All the Jerry was right stuff is going to go out the window if they lose and get crushed by your Eagles.
Yeah, I think there's two scenarios that would crush Cowboys fans. What you just described, getting blown out. But I think if they lose a close game, it's also going to be horrible in Dallas. I think that would almost be worse. Like, they're going to be like, oh, same old Cowboys. They are really down on this team. Despite Jerry trying to sell this as a good long-term move, I think there's so much negativity. We're getting it through our phone lines, Maggie. I think a close loss would also be devastating. I mean, come on, you know Cowboys fans right now. They lose a close game to the Eagles, it's going to be like, oh, you know, why do we hire this guy? He has no big game experience. Why is Jerry talking all this talk? Like, we're clearly talented, but we're never going to get over the hump.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And just another headliner here. You know, I would never accuse you of being a homer. We accuse you of being a bandwagon fan, but not necessarily a homer. I think you look at your team with fresh eyes, clear eyes, but you are...
My Milwaukee Brewers?
You are not picking the Eagles to repeat as Super Bowl champs or even get back to the Super Bowl.
No, I just think it's so hard to stay healthy year after year. And then again, listen, I picked against them last year and it worked out well for me.
But you're not doing that thing, are you?
No, I'm not doing that thing.
Are you emotionally hedging?
I really do think that we have and I don't know if we can get that Saquon Barkley quote ready. I think last year's team was an all-time great team, but it doesn't feel like the fact that the Chiefs repeated was such a miracle. To stay healthy enough is unbelievable to me. We have some sound last night. They did America's Game on NFL Network of Saquon Barkley talking about where that Eagles team from last year was in history. And it's so relevant. I want to play it, Maggie, because it's exactly what we're talking about.
How about this? 66 was the first Super Bowl. You take all the way from 66 to 2024 and you do a March Madness tournament. I think we come out on top, or we're at least making it to the Final Four. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, last year's team could have been all time. It just doesn't matter because everything kind of worked out health-wise. You know, if Lane Johnson gets hurt, if anybody who's 35, any of that falls apart, it's a long road back.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of counter to what Barkley's saying? If you're an all-time team who, if you put in a March Madness-style tournament with all the greatest teams in the Super Bowl era, that they would be a Final Four team, shouldn't you be able to overcome an injury here or there?
Look at our top 25 teams. So many of them did not repeat. Even the elitists of the elite do not repeat often because of injuries.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I believe that's true. I mean, there's probably a lot of future Hall of Famers on the field. I think also Barkley can say this because of how they beat the Chiefs. And usually I don't really care how the game goes down. Like, you win by a field goal, you win by three touchdowns. What does it matter? You won the Super Bowl. But I kind of think it does matter how badly they blew Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid out of the water. And we all know why. We know it was the offensive line was banged up, but still, like, that was so dominant. I did not think of them as a dominant team until that moment.
Yeah, I mean, they started out 2-2, then they basically didn't lose again except for one game where Jalen Hurts got a concussion against Washington. I kind of agree with what you're saying. Those playoff games were a little dicier, the two first ones.
You almost lost to the Rams.
Almost. Yeah, I mean, first of all, that they were a much better team than the Rams. They just took their foot off the gas at the wrong time. I think the field messed with them almost as much as it messed with the Rams because it was snowy. So it was a really, really good team. But I thought the 2017 team was really good too. And honestly, I thought the 2019 Chiefs were a great team. I thought Tom Brady could run it back with Tampa Bay. We always think that. But then the actual reality of the season, it's usually injuries.
So, bigger question for tonight about all the Philadelphia celebrity fans, is Will Smith back? Our audience is saying 95% no. I don't know if he's ever getting back.
That might be one of the most lopsided polls ever. I can't believe that was so high.
There's no love for Will Smith. He may have at one point had like the highest Q rating in America, and it's just gone.
Yeah, no, well, it's not just the slap. It's also his movies have gotten worse and worse and worse. He's had some real duds in the last part of his
career. That Netflix movie, wasn't that like garbage? Like it was like him versus himself. Like he was a young version.
Oh, yeah, Legion or something?
Yeah, something like that. I think that was trash.
Remember with the superhero movie Hancock?
Of course.
That was not well done. That was a bad idea from the start, and it did not work.
Sorry about this, Dr. Phil, or Mr. Phil, Uncle Phil.
Oh, yeah, Uncle Phil. Now that was a great role.
Man, the guy was on fire early in his career.
Also, I'm a little surprised by this poll result from today. Kawhi Leonard caught up in the crosshairs of this NBA scandal, whether or not the Clippers were circumventing the salary cap by giving Kawhi Leonard a no-show job. Yeah, does Kawhi Leonard have the best laugh or the worst laugh? I can't believe you guys think it's the worst. 71%.
You can't honestly be surprised by that result.
Sometimes I don't laugh.
You are surprised by the most obvious. Everybody, that's the most made fun of laugh in all of sports.
But what about when a laugh fits somebody so perfectly?
That's true. It's the best clip.
Yeah, Kawhi might be in a lot of trouble. And the Clippers. EJ Stewart, thank you. Manny Rodriguez, thank you. Peter Schwartz, Andrew Kaplan, Weedo's coffee drinkers. Perloff, good luck to your Eagles tonight.
Thank you. We don't need it.
Football!